Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on BBS Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Priscilla Leona, and this is Question Reality, and we are coming to you live from the beautiful offices of BBS Talk Radio in downtown Los Angeles. And today we have a wonderful guest with us today. He's very, very intriguing. His name is Daniel Krauss, and we're going to get to him in a second. But I want to do a spotlight this week on specialty actors. And last week we covered beginning actors, and this week I'd like to talk about specialty actors. And basically, it's just as it says, you specialize in a certain field, whether you have a certain look, whether you have a certain type, or whether you have one costume, you just like to be an Indian. And we're talking about an Indian today. His name is Alan Bryant, and he is a wonderful specialty actor. He's of Cherokee ancestry. He's from Dallas, Texas, and he's going to be featured on the cover of a new book by Cassie Edwards called Savage Abandon. I wish I could say that with a special effect, but Savage Abandon. And that's coming out in September. However, it can be pre-purchased right now on Amazon.com for the low price of $7.99. So for $8, you get to read something called Savage Abandon. You know, you can just go to Amazon.com, type in the author's name, Cassie Edwards, or Savage Abandon. You should be able to find it. So don't forget, after you read it, to send us emails on your thoughts. This is a very hot, sexy actor here. He's modeling for the cover, but he's also a specialty actor. And what I mean by a specialty actor is a topic that we're going to cover in more detail in another show. But basically, as I said before, it's an actor, a person who specializes in or is associated with a certain look or talent. For Alan, for example, he being of Cherokee Indian descent and having the wardrobe and knowing how to portray the character, he likes to be the Indian, the sexy, hot Indian. He just auditioned for a role of a Native American Indian in an upcoming movie called Lost Warrior, which is perfect for him, right? So, by the way, we wish you good luck on getting that part, Alan. And I just want to give him a little plug, a little extra plug. If you're currently casting in the Dallas, Texas area and you really need a handsome, hot, sexy Native American look for your film, your television or commercial, you got to contact Alan Bryant. He's a super nice guy, very professional and flexible, works very well under stress, being a Pisces. you know I'm into astrology, you know I'm going to throw in the astrological signs. And you can find him on MySpace, and you can get a pen and a paper, hopefully you have one, but it's myspace.com. And then /, and I cannot pronounce this, but I'm going to give it a try, Wahali Wea. And that's Wehali_Waya. And that means Eagle Wolf, which is what Alan calls himself. That's his name, Eagle Wolf, as the specialty actor. And then you can also find him on Explore Talent at alanbryant.exploretalent.com. So good luck, Alan Bryant. Let us know if you get that part, and we're going to talk about you later. Hopefully you'll call in and let us know if you got that part. So we have a wonderful guy here today. I love him personally. He is the funniest guy ever. I'm going to read you something. Now, I am not like the narrator. I'm not like the voiceover actress, but I'm going to read you something that he wrote, which it's his latest piece, I think. I love this so much. I was hysterical. I had tears coming out of my eyes. And I said, I have got to read this on air. He titles this Simon Cowell, Indian Sage. And everyone knows Simon Cowell is from American Idol. Love Simon Cowell. Love my Simon Cowell. Okay, so, and this fits right in with Alan Bryant, you know, the Native American thing. So it's called Simon Cowell, Indian Sage. The Native Americans had the right idea. If you kill an animal, use all the parts. Eat the meat, wear the skin, make tools from the bones. This is the same strategy that Simon Cowell has applied to the variety show. On most TV shows, people go through an audition process before they get on the air. It took a genius to realize how much wasted talent value there was there. American Idol makes an entire season out of it. Then there's the product placement thing. Why have the screen cluttered up with revenue inert pictures of water when you can put a soft drink label there? Why have a phone-in vote without pushing a telecom company? And since it's a competition, the news can report the results and the occasional sex scandal without any money changing hands. Finally, Cal's record company owns the rights to the winners, who have been in a high-rated de facto infomercial for months. Honestly, would you have ever been interested in Kelly Clarkson otherwise? American Idol is an entertainment. It's an arrowhead, a loincloth, and a meal. Whoa! Oh my God! Now, before I throw this glass at him for bashing my Kelly Clarkson and my Simon Cowell, who I love, I think they're the greatest things in Campbell Soup, I will also explore his mindset on making this wonderful, wonderful little piece. Now, where can we find that? I know you have two websites. This is Daniel Krause, by the way. Welcome, hello. Daniel Krause.
Hello, Priscilla. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Where can we see this and other little excerpts from your mind?
Well, that there, that particular one is from Box Office Weekly, which is the blog of one of my podcasts. And it's at boxoffice.thepodcastnetwork.com.
What? No, I've already lost that.
The Podcast Network. All one word.
Damn. Boxoffice.com.
Nope. Oh, stop.
Shoot.
Try
Go
again.
Ahead. Do it again.
Boxoffice.thepodcastnetwork.com.
Okay. We're going to have to get him a website, dankrause.com, and then he can do all of his blogs, and we can just find it, dankrause.com.
I have that, and I never use it. Oh, my God.
You should be using that.
I'm paying for that. I'm paying like $30 a year for that.
Oh, my God. You should totally use it, because when you have long website addresses like that, people just block them out. You know,
I forgot all about that.
Let's transfer all of that over to your website,
I'm giving people money for nothing.
Isn't that a shame? See that?
Good grief.
I bring so much joy, knowledge, and remembrance to people. But yeah, let's do that. That way we can go. Okay, so we're going to say dankrause.com is up and coming soon. So within the next couple of months. And I think he'll have all of his blogs there. But he is a phenomenal writer. I mean, this guy should be working right now for New York Times or the LA Times. He's a great writer, hysterical. I think you borderline on satire. Would you say you satire?
I've been known to.
Yeah, and most of what you write is political and entertainment. Anything else that you focus on?
Or? Yeah, pretty much anything else I feel like focusing on.
Oh, yeah, if you're in his eyesight, or what is it? The hairs? Yeah. Crosshairs?
I would like to think of it as purview rather than crosshairs. That's a little scary.
Well, it just depends. You might one day go on a rampage.
Just a matter of time. Right.
But let me say, now, I am a lover, lover, lover of American Idol. Like, what was it last week? 56 million people who voted, or at least, I don't know, they double votes. I don't know how many, but we love American Idol. I don't know why, but we do. We're obsessed with it. Love Kelly Clarkson. Why do you feel this way about American Idol?
Well, first of all, understand. I mean, I really do admire what they've done with the show. Although, having said that, I've never seen an entire episode of American Idol.
See, that's your problem right there. I've discovered it, people. You go. We can cut him to pieces. I welcome everyone to call in right now who are fellow American Idol lovers and chastise Dan Krause for his lack of knowing the full product.
I've come really close, though, because, you know, whenever House is on, I set the DVR so it starts 5 minutes early, so I always see at least the summary of American Idol.
Okay.
So I see like 10 second snippets of all the contestants.
Okay.
I know what's going on the show without having to actually sit through the show.
But you miss all of Simon Cowell's witty remarks, his comments.
Yeah, the good stuff winds up on the news the next day anyway.
Yeah. And you miss Paula. It's all colored blue. It's perfect. purple today, but it's going to be blue pretty soon.
You know, I believe it's possible that woman may be taking something. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, really?
It's
possible.
There's a thin possibility.
Oh,
my God.
You think? Oh, my God. I read, and I don't know where, and you know, I really like Paula, but I just read in one of those trashy magazines that she's gone through 7 assistants in the past year.
But
so
did she kill them? Or,
I don't know if she was chasing them around the table or if they wouldn't go get her a cocktail. But 7 assistants she's gone through. But, you know, she is the sounding board there. I mean, she does, because Randy, he's getting a little bit more real with his comments, I think, whereas before he was basically, I don't know dog.
Yeah,
and then it was going back and forth. But now he's kind of getting a little more Simon-like. And Simon is Simon-like, but Paula is, she's what keeps that little Paula. Flicker of hope there.
She's the yin.
She is. She's the yin and the yang. But I think she's a nice person.
Of course she's nice.
I think she's nice, yeah. But I think she's got to cocktail it up to put up with
that's
you
probably
know,
true.
Simon.
I mean, you see that Coke can on the desk, but you know, God only knows what else there is.
I do not think there's Coke in there.
You know,
really
something
don't.
You probably
I don't. I think it's water or probably a cocktail in one case.
You never watch them open them.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I really love how you came up with that. I guess what you're talking about, the overall concept of American Idol. But you got to admit, it is genius. I mean, it's a cash cow. They have thought, they are taking the scraps and sucking the life out of them. They have sucked the marrow out of every possible buck they can get.
And not only that, it is the highest rated show on the air. I mean, consistently. Like, if you look at the top 10 shows every week, it's usually the top 3.
Uh-huh.
Unless there's only 2 shows that week, in which case it's only the top 2.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, it's incredibly efficient and it's phenomenally successful at the same time.
It is. You've got it. And I think it's Nigel Lithgow. I think that's his name behind it. And then right after American Idol comes my other favorite show, which is So You Think You Can Dance. I love that show. I don't watch Dancing for the Stars. What? You got a problem with that?
No,
are
no,
we
no.
going to have
no,
a blurb
no, no,
with
I,
that?
No, I don't know. I don't know,
you know
anything
you don't watch that
about
one?
That. No.
Oh, that's a good one. And Nigel Lithgow is one of the producers of American Idol.
Okay, I'm not surprised.
That is a fantastic show too, and they're following in the same footsteps. But you got to think, if they're providing people with entertainment, because you know, if we didn't like it, we wouldn't watch it. So they're doing something.
Oh
right.
Yeah, no, I have no quarrel with them at
right?
all.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just that we're not getting a percentage of the proceeds. That's why we're upset, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Not to mention, I'm really pleased that they found a way to bring back the variety show, because I miss variety shows.
Oh, that's a good point, isn't it?
You know,
it really is. And God bless them. You know, you look at some of them up there every week, and you know David Cook does not want to be singing some of those corny ass songs that they have him singing, because he's like the cool, hip, happening one. And then you had Brooke White, who was in her element. Oh my God, you'd think she was on the Carol Burnett show. She was loving it.
She
Did
could
you?
Be the new Vicki Lawrence. I have no idea who these people are.
Oh, my God. You guys.
None. Not one.
Well, Brooke White was the one with the blonde hair. Surely you saw it in your 2 seconds that
possibly,
you watched it at the
possibly.
End.
Well, to tell the truth, I've been kind of like, since the writer's strike knocked House off the air, I actually haven't even been keeping up on my 2 minutes of American Idol.
Oh, yeah. It's really great, because you see, it's a sign of the times, and you really see what's going on out there, what they consider talent. Because it's not just actually about how good you can sing. You really have to be popular.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
really do.
Yeah. You have to be charismatic.
You really do. Mm. And you've got poor David Archuleta, who, in my opinion, he's going to have a breakdown any minute. The boy can barely keep his little eyelids open, and he looks like he's so terrified every week, and he's like shivering and shaking. But he loves to do the variety stuff. And then you got David Archuleta, who's thinking, God, what the hell's my life come to? I got to sing So Happy Together. and then you got to some of them that love it, and then some of them that don't like it at all. Yeah. But they're thinking about the end result, because all of them are going to walk away with a contract of some sort.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So even if you fall into 10th place, you're gonna get something.
You're probably better off if you fall into 10th place. I mean, that means Simon doesn't sign you, and you can negotiate with another company.
Oh, that's a very good point.
If I were a contestant, I would like throw the contest somewhere near the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Oh, Daniel's always thinking. That's why he writes some of the best blogs on the internet. I still I could print out so many pages of the wonderful things that I have read that Dan has written. I'm going to bring a couple of those topics up. God, I love the one that you wrote about the light bulb.
Yeah, that's right.
And you don't remember. You can't even share that with our audience. You don't remember your stuff, do you?
Well, not necessarily. You know,
it was so brilliant.
That's why I write, because I don't have to carry it around in my head that way.
That's right. That's a good point.
But I do recall it involved Michelle Bachmann, a Republican congresswoman from the Midwest somewhere. You know, I'm on the West Coast, and therefore anything between here and New York doesn't count. because I'm trying to alienate the middle of the country on the show today, if I may. Actually, it's very nice. I loved Iowa. I've been there. Anyway, Michelle Bachmann, there was an energy bill passed in December, and one of the provisions of it, buried deep down inside, was that we were going to be phasing out incandescent bulbs over the next 25 years.
Now, for those who don't know what incandescent bulbs are, they are regular light bulbs.
The kind that you're used to, they get
Kmart
all hot.
Light bulbs.
Right, yeah.
Right?
They're, if you get an idea, that's the light bulb you get over your head.
Yes, whereas, go ahead.
Whereas what they're talking about putting in the place is the compact fluorescent bulbs, which look kind of like soft serve ice cream. They're twisty.
I buy those. They're better for the environment.
Yeah,
right?
They use a quarter of the electricity.
Exactly.
The light is now virtually indistinguishable from incandescent bulbs. They're just better all around.
And they don't heat up like the regular light bulbs.
Yeah,
you touch them and they just take your whole, a layer of skin off. These, you touch them and they're fairly just warm.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why they use less energy, because they handle the heat more efficiently.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michelle Bachmann introduced a bill recently to allow people to hold on to incandescent bulbs, so that people would have a choice and still be able to use the inefficient, hot, dangerous, probably, tungsten-based incandescent bulbs.
Uh-huh.
Because this has been a big, for some reason, issue with the crazier elements of the right wing.
Hmm.
If you ever saw the half-hour comedy hour on Fox News, they did a sketch. By the way, did you?
No, I did not.
You're not alone.
Oh, good.
But they did a sketch about one of those bulbs breaking and everybody being, afraid to go near it because of all the mercury that's contained in these bulbs. The mercury in these bulbs is actually like a tenth of the mercury in, what do they call those things? Thermometers.
Okay. So you're talking the fluorescent bulbs.
The complex fluorescent bulbs contain some mercury.
Oh.
Yeah, a tiny, tiny bit of mercury. And for that reason, the right wing is claiming that they need to be banned and not used, and instead we should continue to use as much energy as possible. See, and that's what I think is really behind it all. It's the desire to keep the oil companies and the energy companies in business with the highest possible profit margin.
I think so.
Which is strange, because most people in the right wing don't work for the energy companies. They're paying them like we are. Isn't that odd?
It is very odd.
Yeah.
My God. But I was amazed that this woman was spending so much time trying to bring stop the sales, I guess, of the fluorescent
can
light bulb.
You can you imagine like devoting all this time to writing this bill?
All 8 hours a day she's spending on this.
Yeah, instead of say fighting terrorism or keeping the roads active, stuff like that.
And she's just worrying about that damn light bulb. I'd like to know what kind of light bulb she has in her house. I bet she wants to save a buck, right?
I'll bet.
Now you write on so many topics, but you did say that you don't report gossip on Box Office Weekly. And you said that's because it's all lies. Now, tell us about that. Why do you say that?
This is a theory that I developed when I was watching, I think it was Who was Gwyneth Paltrow and... No, hold on. Ben...
Affleck?
Thank you very much. And Jennifer Lopez, or Bennifer, as they were
Jennifer,
called.
Jennifer, okay.
Yeah. You'll recall that they were having a very hot and heavy romance from a few months before a movie they were in opened till just about the time when the DVD came out.
Mm-hmm.
At which point it suddenly crashed.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Lopez was involved with someone else before that for a similar time period.
Right.
And I'm starting to realize now that any time you see a star out in public with someone else,
mm-hmm.
especially another star,
mm-hmm.
it has a lot more to do with maybe selling something than any kind of real romance they're having.
Mm-hmm.
So I've pretty much decided now that anything that anybody tells the papers that involves a real star is a lie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a way to sell a thing.
It's just PR.
It's just PR, exactly. Yeah, the real interesting stuff about the stars you'll never hear because, you know, if I were a star, I'd keep that quiet, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, Brittany doesn't feel that way, but...
Well, yeah, but she apparently is insane, and obviously that skews the results a little. She's the exception that proves the rule.
Do you think she's really insane?
I think she's probably at least a little insane.
I like her.
She's a sweetie pie, but she has a chemical imbalance.
You think so? Me? Yeah. Oh, poor thing.
Well, she's probably better now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, when I first saw her, I've always liked her. When I first saw her in this movie, believe it or not, I was against the wind with this because no one agreed with me. I was the only one who felt this way. I saw her in a movie called, I think it was God.
Crossroads?
Oh, I don't want to get... Crossroads, thank you.
Cheers.
You know, I saw her. I said, she actually has acting ability.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought she had talent. I said, if she wanted to pursue acting, she could actually be a very good actress. And recently, she was on... How I Met Your Mother.
Right, as a
receptionist. I did not see that, but I didn't need to see it to know she was going to do a good job.
Yeah,
I think since her father has taken over her career, because I think she was at 125 million, and now she's only down to 15 million. She spent it because she's got
houses
and cars.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant there was some kind of Britney Spears trading thing going on.
I think he had... Someone bought Britney for 15 million.
I've got a few shares in her, but you know what? I'm not invested heavily because most of my money's tied up in Christina Aguilera.
Oh, okay. Well, she, I think since her dad has taken over, all of a sudden you're really seeing her just getting back on top. And she was on the show, and I didn't see it, but I just knew it was going to be successful because she really has acting ability. And I guess it was so popular, she's going to be on an upcoming episode, I hear.
You know what's interesting about that, by the way? I heard this, and because it's kind of gossip, it could be lies.
Okay.
But I heard that she got that gig in the first place just by answering an ad in Dramalogue.
Get out of here!
Yeah, she answered an ad. She sent in a headshot, and they assumed, well, it's not that Britney Spears, but they liked her look, so they invited her in. And
are you kidding me?
Yeah, so she just went through normal channels.
Oh, I wonder if that's true. If anybody knows if that's true, can you please give us a call?
Yeah, people who work on the show.
Yeah, people who work on the show, yeah, they're going to call us up and tell us. But that would be very, I would like to hear that because that would be inspiring to my audience.
It would mostly be inspiring to your audience who are already famous.
You can get an acting gig too,
you know. You just have to go through the right
channels. Yeah, you have to go through the Hollywood Reporter, the drama. Now, when you say, okay. So something else, now you say you don't watch reality shows because they're all lies. Does that tie into the gossip?
Yeah, it does.
Are you a conspiracy theorist?
No, I'm not getting
the impression there's some sort of conspiracy. Am I safe sitting here with you?
Well, have you
ever... There might be somebody with a gun pointed right at us right now.
You know, actually, there's a lovely view here of a bunch of other buildings in Los Angeles.
I'm saying they could snipe us at any time.
Any one of these thousands of windows we're looking at right now could contain Lee Harvey Oswald.
I know. See, I haven't read all your blogs. I don't know if it's safe sitting with you.
No. I'm not paranoid. But look, have you ever been in a place where they're shooting a reality show?
Yes, I have. I love reality shows.
I know you do.
I TiVo them like crazy. We have to add a second DVR because there's not enough. I just finished watching, which I'm going to share with my audience. I found it. See, people who bash, and I'm not saying you, but people who bash reality shows, depending on which one it is, there are many reality television shows that teach you so many things. for example, I was just watching the one with Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, which we're going to talk about, because when I was watching that, I said, oh, my God, this would be perfect to talk about on the air, because there are so many mothers trying to get their children into show business who are in, he laughs, who are in, who are in cities all across the country who may not know what the first thing is to do. But Danny Bonaducci brought Marky Costello, who's a really big-time talent manager. I think it's Creative Entertainment, something, something. I can't remember the name. But he brought her on as kind of like a co-host person. But he was giving these mothers and their children opportunity to become a star. She was going to sign them for a year. There's a contract. And what they did every week was they taught these mothers who were at managing their children. That's the worst thing you can do as a mother, is manage your own child. But before you get to a point where you can hire someone, you have to do it. But if you teach your child the wrong things, you are setting them up for disaster. And what this reality show did was it taught you all the things you were doing wrong and how to change them. So it really helped a lot of people, I'm sure, watching. And it taught you, you know, how to brand, which is most important when you're trying to become an actor. You need to brand yourself. So the mothers did not know how to brand their children. He'd say, well, what's your child's brand? I don't know. They were, if you dress your child up one way, but the child has a different look, you know, you're marketing your child wrong. So I found that in that case, that reality show brought a lot of information to people that really, really needed it. And so in that, it depends on the reality show. Now, Bret Michaels, Rock of Love, which I also love, but it doesn't really teach you anything other than what? Don't do drugs. Don't go on the show to try to be in love with Bret Michaels, because he's not really choosing you for love.
Well,
he
needs
money.
People, if people walk away with that lesson, maybe they've done a good thing.
Oh, God, that show is a trip. Have you ever watched that?
I don't.
You do not. Sure. Ah, from a person who doesn't watch reality television.
I write about entertainment, and I don't actually consume any.
Now, that's interesting. That is interesting. How can one write about something that they haven't experienced?
Well, you know something? I think most of the people who actually make television don't watch any either. You know, it makes sense. Well, sure, of course, because the hours on a set, you know, people work 16 hours a day, 6 days a week. When the heck are they going to watch TV? And then the one day they have off, they're usually, you know, zombies. So actually, I guess they'd be watching TV then, but they're not really absorbing it. They're just, you know, laying there.
That brings a very interesting point. I cannot tell you. You know, see, I don't share that mentality at all. I run across a lot of actors. If and we'll use that term loosely, I run across a lot of people who are pursuing a career as an actor or want to. And when I try to talk to them about, oh, did you see this show or did you see that show? They don't watch television. And my thought process is, how can you be pursuing a career in a field when you don't even know what the field is about? You don't even know what the career is about. What how can you watch television and know, you know, what type of comedies are on, what is what's the trend, you know, what's the show? You go, if your agent calls you or if you have an audition, and you go on an audition for a show and you're not familiar with the show, you don't know the timing.
That's true.
You don't know anything about the show. You don't know how to interact with the style that that show is in, with genre. You don't know. You know nothing about the show. But yet I see actors all the time saying, oh, I don't watch television.
You know what? I made that mistake once. I was, when I had a an agent for writing, I wrote a spec script for Seinfeld. And I really had never seen a full Seinfeld episode. And that, it turns out, you really need to know the show well to write for Seinfeld.
You really do. And you really need to watch television. I mean, if you're going out to be a television or film or something, but you need to know what's going on. I mean,
that's true.
But yet there are people who actually are pursuing a career and don't watch television or film.
There are particular acting styles that you need to know to be in, say, a sitcom or an hour-long drama. There's particular
with timing.
Yeah,
for example, I went to a casting director workshop last Saturday, I believe, or the Saturday before, on the 3rd, whenever that was.
Oh, my gosh.
Mary Lou Belli was the casting director. Oh, my God. And I've gone to so many casting director workshops. This woman was phenomenal. It's very rare to come across a casting director like her. Let me tell you, because most of the time when you go into when you go to a casting director workshop, you'll do your scene and they go, great, that was great. Okay, yeah, all right. Sure. All right. Next. Yeah. Almost like an audition, right?
Yeah.
But this lady actually took the people who were doing their scenes and she took time to critique you on the scene. And she actually was telling, okay, for example, if you went up to do a sitcom, she actually took the time to say, you know, it's all about the timing. It goes in threes. You know,
right.
You got to hit on the third beat and this word. And people were saying their lines and some of them did not have a clue as to what word they needed to hit on, which is going to get the laughs.
Mm.
So there's actually a science, almost,
yeah,
for lack
yeah.
of a better word. And you only get that by watching sitcom television.
Yeah, that is very true.
It's timing. You need to know the pacing, the timing of sitcom, which is very different than comedy and film.
Or any other kind of acting. Yeah, sitcoms are a peculiar beast.
Yes, they really are. So she's going to be a guest on an upcoming show on June 1st.
Oh,
so,
good.
Oh, my God. I hope that people are going to spread the word on that because she has so much to talk about. And just incredible. I'm very excited to have her. But reality shows, I think it depends on which one.
Yeah,
Rock
that's true.
Rock of Love, I don't think has
you know,
any
actually,
value,
you can pretty much write off any dating show, any show where a bunch of people are vying to get dates with any other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are almost guaranteed, you know.
Which ones are you speaking of in
particular? Well, The Bachelor, for example. You know, I'm going into the classic era here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, like that, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Probably also any of the Survivor knockoffs and Survivor itself. Because, you know,
Which
ones
are you talking about, the knockoffs of Survivor? Oh, like Fear? No, that's not Fear
Well,
Factor
Fear Factor
was.
Kind of
That
was.
Had no value
You know,
for
Big
me.
Brother's kind of a Survivor knockoff.
I've never watched Big Brother.
No, most people in America haven't. It's big overseas, but for some reason we never got to like it.
I don't know why, but yet it's been on for years.
When I was in London, you know, there was a German Big Brother channel. It was 24 hours a day of Big Brother. It was, you know, you could watch that or you could just watch the hour-long summary version every week.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, that's just, that's sheer voyeurism.
Well, they're big with the Big Brother camera, so
yeah.
That's really, like, that says it all about the show.
I hadn't thought about that. They are the Germans, aren't they?
It really did. Now, I would love to open up the audience. If you have any questions for Dan Krause, please feel free to call in. The number is on the website, and I hope that you take the opportunity to do that because he's a fascinating person to talk to.
If you're overseas, by the way, you can also use Skype to call.
Skype, that's right.
Yeah,
bbs.radio.com. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
And
sure,
so,
you remember that one.
Yeah, so I would definitely like for you to call in. The lines are open. I'm hoping that you give me a call right now. Call now. Woo!
Hello.
Well, we're going to keep talking until somebody calls in because Oh, what is the other website that you that
Oh,
you
let's
have?
See. So we did box office. The
Do
other
the
one
box is, office one again.
Okay, that's box office. No, is it? Yes. boxoffice.thepodcastnetwork.com, which, by the way, was down for a while. So if you're a fan of anything there, it's back up again, and you can start listening and reading.
And what's your other website?
The other website is... What did I write down?
Oh, my God. I don't know. It was...
I need to make notes before I go on the air.
Yeah.
Don't I? Yeah, that would be clever of me.
We'll just... Well, they're going to come to DanKrause.com. Dan, D-A-N...
Daniel Krause.
Oh, it's Daniel Krause?
Yeah, to distinguish me from the other Dan Krause.
Oh.
You know what? There's a Dan Krause who plays bass for Paul Revere and the Raiders.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I Googled myself, and he's he keeps coming up before me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I Google myself, and I come up with things in German.
Oh,
and
interesting.
Russian. Well, it's because I did this movie, Dodgeball, with Ben Stiller.
Right, yeah, you were good in that, too.
Yeah. Oh, did you see me?
Yes.
Like 1.5 seconds of me? That was really good.
It was the best half second of the whole movie.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's what I said. But that was such a popular movie that they have it in every country.
Right.
Right, so I type myself in, and I come up in Russian and German and all over the world my name is. You're also not only a great writer, if there's anyone out there that owns a newspaper, or even if it's just a like a LA Weekly or any type of newspaper, or know someone, I would definitely get in contact with Dan Cross. He could do little editorials for you, do little write-ups. He's so brilliant. He really has so much. When you check out his blogs, you'll see how brilliant he is.
I remembered the other address, which is
what?
Keeping It Real, Yo.
Keeping It Real, Yo.
Except you've got to drop the G. Keeping It Real, Yo.
Oh, so KEEPINITREALYO
blogspot.com.
Another with the dot blogspot.com. Those are too long. Transfer everything over to danielcross.com.
Well, you know something, kind of thing.
K-R-A-U-S-C. D-A-N-I-E-L-K-R-A-U-S-C.com.
Here's one that's shorter but still confusing.
Oh, no.
Okay, here we go. It's brief. It's darkmeat.name.
Yeah, it doesn't have 15 more letters attached
to it. No, that's
it.
It just ends in name instead of...
Can you believe it? Darkmeat.name.
That's right.
Darkmeat.name. See, one of the things, and you know I love you, I'm going to just pick on you for a minute. One of the things you guys have to realize is that keeping it simple is keeping it simple. You need to have one phone number for someone to call you if you're an actor, preferably the cell phone. Two, you've got to have one website address, and it's got to be short so people can remember it. If you're an actor, it should be your name, danielcross.com, or whatever your name is. And you can't have like 50 million websites and all these different email addresses because people are not, they don't attach. You've got to make it short so people can remember it. So one email address, and it should be as close to your name as possible or whatever you are marketing. It has to be like proactive.com, you know, something like that. But you can't get into anything that is too long because people are not going to remember it. So just a little tip. Love you, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, you are a wonderful little actor as well.
I do. I do okay.
You do. You were just in a play called On Golden Pond.
Yes, that's right. It's very much like the movie, except without those troublesome Fondas.
Oh, it was really cute. I liked it. I thought where did we go?
It was the Stage Door Theater in
Stage
Agora.
Stage Door Theater, yeah. Right. That was a cute little theater.
It's nice. It's really
there was
small.
an attack of the mosquitoes, but other than that.
Yeah, well, it's in the middle basically of the wilderness, which is part of its charm.
It was perfect because there was a line in there about the mosquitoes. And as soon as the line was said, here comes this big 4-foot mosquito flying by my head. And I was sitting in the back, like the back row. And I'm like, where did he come from? Because that was the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And he went right by my head.
They have a real problem with that. There was one night when the woman who was playing Ethel was talking about those mosquitoes. And, you know, she's like swatting at the invisible ones with a rake. And a real one came in,
and she
actually like hit a prop and knocked it off, and broke its head off.
You know, that might be some sort of a spirit in the mosquitoes.
Every theater has a ghost.
That's true.
Yes.
Don't say Macbeth.
You just said Macbeth.
I'm not in a theater.
Oh, okay, all right. Then
you just
all
can't
good.
Say it in a theater.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
And so you did a great job in that. We came, we saw.
Yeah, and thank you for coming.
You're welcome. The mosquitoes drove us out. We had to leave a little early because Albert and I were panicking over that.
Albert was actually being carried out by mosquitoes.
Yeah,
which
see what? Now, you are going to be in a new play, which is a play that I've actually wanted to see for a long time called...
Me too.
No Sex, Please, We're British.
Right.
And the reason I want to see this is because I do a scene with my scene partner. We do the same one in front of every casting director. It's called No Sex, Please, We're Skittish. And
you
it's from Frasier. From Frasier.
Okay.
And, you know, they had a play on that. And
that's very clever of those Frasier guys.
Oh, my. I love their titles. I would always just tune in just to watch the titles. Some of them, I love the titles of various shows. They're very, very clever.
Yeah, and you usually
very
don't
clever.
See them. Usually they just like go around the writing room and nobody on the air ever gets to know.
Yeah, I want to know. Does anybody know who comes up with those titles?
Well, most sitcoms have like a room full of 15 people. It could be anybody.
I know.
They probably have a contest or something.
Yeah, but But I tell you, they're really, really, really good. So you're in a play. Now, I know that that play was written by Alistair
Foot
and yeah. Anthony.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Mark Anthony. No, Anthony. wait a minute. I wrote it down. Marriott.
Oh, good.
Anthony Marriott.
Wow, you're ahead of me.
Yeah.
I've got a script right with me.
I made a little note here that in 1971, I think it came out on Broadway, and it didn't do well at all.
Huh.
Did not do well, but it was, let's see, I wrote a little note here. It says, it came out in 1971 on Broadway, didn't do well. They only had 16 performances.
Oh, ouch.
In 1973. But it's very popular in community theater.
Right, yeah. It's a really well-constructed, tight little farce.
Yeah, I was reading about it. It sounds very interesting how this couple, this guy from a bank, orders some...
Well, his wife.
His wife orders some Scandinavian glassware or something, and they actually get pornography.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, that's the jumping off point, because, of course, a British law at the time made it illegal to distribute pornography in any way. So once they get this pornography, they're stuck with it. They can't keep it there because they live in an apartment above a bank where they work. And they can't just throw it away because then they're distributing pornography through the trash cans.
Oh.
So a big part of the play is attempting to figure out a way to get rid of this stuff under clandestine means. And naturally, it winds up involving people lying about their names, claiming to be other people, running through doors and hiding knocking each other out with sleeping potions.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, farce. I love farce.
As a matter of fact, I just this afternoon, because on Golden Pond ended last night, I was at the theater again helping the guy who runs the place rebuild the set because we needed to put in 4 extra doors. Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of in and
entrance
out doors.
And out, yeah.
Oh, I'm there. I got to definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep me on the list for that one for
sure. You're in, I promise.
I love that. So it's got to be funny. So where is that going to be playing?
Once again, the Stage Door Theater
in
Agora.
It's the Stage Door again.
Yeah.
Oh, bring the fly swatter, honey. Bring the fly swatter and the mosquito repellent.
Yeah, if you can, just like bathe in mosquito repellent before you come.
Oh, those little bastards are in for it this time because I'm going
to
bring a zapping strip with me. They're going to get it.
Okay, just try to keep it quiet back there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they only come out while you're on stage. When we're sitting there, they didn't come out the whole time.
Well, no, because they're attracted by the stage lights. It's not as bad as we're saying, okay?
That's right. We're sending phone. People are going, I'm not going to the stage door because I wasn't even thinking that.
Yeah, yeah.
I only saw one mosquito.
A big one, though.
It was a big
one.
It was huge, but it's dead now.
You know. By the way, what's much worse, the kid who was in on Golden Pond had been doing some shows at Theatricum Botanicum, which is Will Gear's outdoor theater.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get the insects, my friend. Oh, yeah. You get great Shakespeare and insects the size of Buicks.
Oh, my God. What is that theater called so we don't go
Theatricum,
there?
Theatricum Botanicum. I don't know why I'm plugging them because I'm not in anything.
Yeah, we're not going there. They got bigger mosquitoes than at the Stage Door.
But it does have quite a reputation. That's all.
Quite a reputation. Now, we're definitely... And when do you open for No Sex for British?
That is, I think, the final week in May. So I think probably May 23rd.
And are you going to have that up on the danielkrauss.com website?
You know, that would be very sensible of me to do. I think
so
I will.
You're promising the audience that you're going to have danielkrauss.com up ASAP.
Yes.
We want to read your blogs.
You know something? I'll put it up there and I'll just make it a link to the long name blogs.
Okay. All right. If that's all you can do for me.
Better
now,
than nothing.
Now, you say that you are a lazy actor. I don't understand that. You say you're a lazy actor in contrast with the dedicated actor. What does that mean?
Well, I don't act to make a living because... Okay. The acting is the easy part when you're looking for work as an actor, the acting is the least work there is. What's hard is getting the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the whole subject of the show last week, just how many hoops you have to jump through.
Yeah, you definitely, you're an entrepreneur. You are your business.
Exactly, and that is very, very hard work.
It really is.
And I'm not willing to do any of that.
Okay. So whoever wants to hire him...
Yeah, you better call me because otherwise you don't get me.
Exactly. Yeah, call him. He will call you. And it's true, you've just been lucky in that people know you and they know that you do a very good job. job, and they just say, "Oh, I want this type of actor," and they just call you.
Right.
So you're the only actor I know that doesn't have to market or network himself, besides celebrities that actually get called to do plays all the time.
These last two plays, I didn't have to audition. As a matter of fact,
now that's another route we can go. We're going to talk about that route later.
In fact, for No Sex Please, the reason I got the part, aside from the fact that I'm very talented, of course, is that the guy they were thinking of casting is terrified of trying to do a British accent.
You're doing a British accent?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Hey,
I know
God.
Several of them. Yes.
Oh, I like that. That's
you,
very
right now,
stuffy British.
Well, because,
like,
you know, because I'm in a studio, I'm doing my BBC. Yes, because they have a standard pronunciation.
I like that. Well, I can't wait. We're definitely going to see it. And lastly, now, I personally can't tell, but you say that you've lost weight.
Oh, yes.
A lot of weight, and you're going to be very curious. Now, you're not going to be able to share exactly what I read. I read that blog about how you lost weight.
Well, yeah, it's
now,
too
you
long.
You got to tell it exactly. We only have a couple more minutes here. We actually have 5 minutes.
Well, I can boil it down to the secret.
Okay. All right.
All right. The
well,
secret,
I
yeah.
like what you said, because you said basically, essentially, you learn how to enjoy hunger.
That is the only way you can really lose serious weight.
Oh, my God.
What happens is, you know, you can diet and exercise, but sooner or later you're going to get hungry and go, "Oh, where's that chocolate bar?"
Oh.
So the trick is to feel the hunger and go, "Oh, that's my body burning calories without me having to exercise."
That's sadistic.
I love that feeling of hunger.
No,
that's the only
Lord.
Way to do it.
That's what you say. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's worked for me. I'm hungry right now. I'm actually a little peckish. I could enjoy.
But you're enjoying it right now.
Yes, exactly. I'm sitting here. I'm sipping on a Diet Coke, and I'm thinking, this is great. I am losing probably a pound doing this show.
Wait until your blood sugar level drops, and you're underneath the microphone in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but you know what? If I'm collapsed,
I'll be stuffing my Snickers bar down your throat.
If I am collapsed on the floor, that just means I'm not eating some more.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say the secret is to eat the experts, not Dan Krause, but the experts say that you should eat every 2 hours. Now, I'm loving that philosophy like you would not believe.
Well,
I'm all over that, honey.
The thing is, though, you can't eat a lot. You can't eat a lot every
exactly,
2 hours.
Yeah,
you have to eat a tiny bit.
And it can't be all the foods that I like, which are white.
Yeah.
Which are sugar.
That's right. You know, that's the other good
it's
advice
true.
I got. No white food.
Yeah,
no bread.
True.
No sugar. No potatoes.
It's true. And those are all the things I love. Give me some focaccia bread. What is that?
Focaccia.
Focaccia.
Yeah. What you're talking about is crazy in the head bread.
Yeah,
that's focaccia bread. And that's a whole different thing.
Give me some of that Italian bread and some. What else do I like? Anything that's white, send it on over. I love it.
You know,
white
I haven't had
cheese.
Bread in like 3 weeks.
It's so bad.
You know something? I think white cheese is okay. I think that's the exception to the rule. Yeah, it's got protein in it anyway.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, maybe you should, like, I don't know.
But, you know, I'm
darken
enjoying
it
because, you know, all my little skinny friends, we go out to eat, and they're having the salad, and I'm having the big heaping garlic mashed potatoes with the double burger with bacon, applewood smoke preferably, and they're smelling on my food, and they're just drooling and dribbling all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to eat.
Oh,
God
that would
bless
be me.
Them.
I guarantee you.
They
I
want
know.
To
yeah.
eat.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the, you know, these guys don't realize they're going out with these hot, sexy chicks, and the girls are looking good, but they're always bitches, right? A lot of them.
That's true,
and
because
they don't
they're hungry.
Those little skinny bitches are hungry.
It's true, it's
they
very true.
They want some damn food.
Yeah,
they don't want that thing stuffed in their mouth that you want to stuff in their mouth. They want some food in there, so don't try to stuff them with that thing, unless you go put some mustard on it.
You know, that actually sounds kind of kinky. I might try that sometime.
That's because you have a bad mind. Listen, I want to do a shout out to my friend Nick Saltos of the Horror Channel. He is the owner. Yeah, you know Nick.
Sure, Nick's cool.
Nick's cool. Nick's a coolie. Nick Saltos of the Horror Channel. The Horror Channel is your home for the best. You know, I'm going to let you read this.
Oh, may I?
Read this for Nick. He's going to love it because you have that announcer type.
All right.
This is my ad copy for Nick Saltos' company, The Horror Channel, which is thehorrorchannel.com. And Dan, take it away.
She's already farming this stuff out. Here
yeah.
we go. The Horror Channel is your home for the best in horror entertainment, news, culture, lifestyle, and best of all, frights. Be sure to visit thehorrorchannel.com for all of our latest programming. They are also available on various FIOS cable television. Go to channel 900 free on demand and select pop culture. Scroll down and you'll find The Horror Channel.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. Can we have claps? We have claps. That was fantastic. See, you could do voiceovers.
I can. Oh, yeah. You know, the thing about voiceover, though, you have to kill the people who are already doing voiceover
that
to get in.
That is such a hard, hard business
because
to get into.
Because it is such a good gig.
It is.
Yeah.
Just like session musicians. You know, I've been trying to get Albert to be a session musician for years, but it's a click. It's all who you know. And we're going to be talking about that, too. Mm. So, hopefully, if you didn't call in, you're going to visit Daniel Krause's website and visit the horror channel. They are the channel that you want to go to for all of your horror needs. If you want to get a little thrill and a little chill, go to thehorrorchannel.com. And they're also on Juiced, if you have Juiced, which I've just discovered.
Oh, right. J-O-O-S-T.
J-O-O-S-T.com. And they're also on Akimbo. They're on all the stations. And they have horror movies, and it's 24-hour digital cable. So send Nick an email and tell them how much you love thehorrorchannel.com. So check that out. And Hollywood OS, I hope you guys are going to the website hollywoodos.com to get your free book. Remember I told you that the first, $30 value for free. You got to go to hollywoodos.com. They are the place to go if you want to do some background work, and you get your account free for a week, and you can submit to all kinds of projects.
Can't beat that deal.
Thank you so much, Daniel Krause, for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it so much. Thank you. Come back. Promise. Promise you're going to
come back. I will. It's been a pleasure.
Visit DanielKrause.com soon. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week. Have a great day.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on BBS Talk Radio.